my name is Shay Dreffs. I'm here with Sydney Finkelstein, a professor of strategy and leadership at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth College, talking business. Our topic for this podcast is Four Sure Bets for 2014. It's the start of a new year. We're off to a fresh start, looking ahead. And of course, that comes with a season of predictions. So I'm wondering, Sid, what are you looking for in 2014?
Hi, Shay. Well, let's all hope it's going to be a great year and a healthy and a happy year for everyone. There are four sure things for 2014 that I'm thinking about, and I think we can almost count on it. The beginning of the year is full of promise. Just like spring training for sports, when anything seems possible, I've always looked at the early days of January with excitement and anticipation. There will be much that'll happen this year, both good and bad, and we can't simply predict all of that. But in the world of business, I can pretty much guarantee four sure things. Number one, a CEO will be fired and walk away with tens of millions of dollars in severance pay. For shareholders, employees, and CEO watchers, this is surely one of the most infuriating milestones in business. The leader who is unsuccessful is richly rewarded for his or her efforts on the way out, given a golden parachute. How is that possible? What about pay for performance, the mantra of shareholder activists and compensation apologists everywhere? Well, the dirty little secret is that boards of directors will struggle to bring on the CEOs they want without first ensuring a soft landing for them if things don't turn out so well. It's not that these CEOs are being rewarded for poor performance, it's that boards typically can't even entice them to take on the top job without a golden parachute. It's expected. It's the entry ticket to the game. So steel yourself for this inevitable event in 2014, accompanied by the usual hand-wringing media commentary, but the die has long been cast. All that awaits is to see who gets the axe and the loot. Number two, a savvy investor in Hong Kong, in London, New York, maybe even Singapore, will bank eye-popping portfolio returns, and the next investment genius will be born. This is actually one of my favorites, and you can set your watch by it. In a world of investors, there's a huge variation in the bets people make, from large-cap stocks, small-cap stocks, emerging markets, commodities, gold, real estate, fine art, you name it, the list goes on. Isn't it rather self-evident that some investors will do extremely well, and others will do extremely poorly? Yet we anoint the home run hitters with attributions of cleverness, of daring, and of genius. Nassim Taleb, the author of The Black Swan, a great book, demonstrated how people are very bad at understanding random events. We have a natural tendency to create narratives that make everything sound logical. So we believe the super successful investor did well because of his or her individual talent and behavior. Don't fall into this trap. A more likely explanation, the distribution of investment outcomes inevitably includes outliers on either end. We call those on the extreme positive side geniuses, and those on the extreme negative side fools. Much more likely is that these outliers were extremely lucky or unlucky. Number three, a young high-tech entrepreneur will refuse to sell his super-hot startup for billions of dollars to Silicon Valley royalty. Think Google, Facebook, Apple. The most prominent of such entrepreneurs in 2013 was Evan Spiegel, the founder of Snapchat. He became more famous for saying no to Facebook's $3 billion offer to buy his company than he was for creating the quick disappearing instant messaging app in the first place. But for every entrepreneur like Mark Zuckerberg, who turns down a billion-dollar suitor and does even better, there are countless others who should have taken the money and run. Andrew Mason, the founder of Groupon, refused to accept $6 billion to sell his company to Google. He no doubt regrets that move, especially now that he's been pushed out as CEO, and at the time, Groupon was worth only around $3 billion. 6 years ago, Yahoo was offered a blowout acquisition price by Microsoft, a whopping $44.6 billion, only to have founder and then CEO Jerry Yang turn the other cheek. Even with a terrific 2013 run-up in Yahoo market cap under the new CEO, Marissa Mayer, the company's valuation is still not back to the Microsoft buyout number. Evan Spiegel may also be having some second thoughts now that calls for his removal over his poor handling of a major security breach at Snapchat are accelerating. Despite being warned in August by a security firm that some of its program coding was vulnerable to hacking, little was done and hackers made off with 4.6 million usernames and phone numbers. Instead of apologizing, Spiegel pinned the blame on the culprits without acknowledging any responsibility to his own customers. Whether Spiegel will find himself in the same spot as Groupon's Mason remains to be seen, but the pattern is set. The only question is which entrepreneur will be next to tell a suitor that its money isn't wanted. And finally, number four, more women will break the glass ceiling of the C-suite in major companies. I hope this one's not wishful thinking. In the Fortune 500, there are now just 23 female CEOs, not a big number. But That number is higher than it was just a year ago. In the last year, giant companies like General Motors, Lockheed Martin, and General Dynamics have promoted women to the very top job. The CEOs of IBM, PepsiCo, Hewlett-Packard, and Yahoo are also all women. It's possible that my prediction on women may be aggressive, but it's the one prediction I believe will be on everyone's list for years to come. Just take a look at those who are excelling in high schools and universities, especially in the United States. Much of the new wave of talent coming into the workforce is female, which will surely create ongoing ripples for years to come. Coupled with slowly changing attitudes, at least in the most developed countries, about the role of women, and you have a movement. Bob Dylan's song, Ballad of a Thin Man, includes the refrain, "Something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones?" Like many Dylan songs, its literal meaning is opaque, yet it seems appropriate as a descriptor of the changes afoot in the C-suite in 2014 and for years to come. You can count on it. Follow me on Twitter, @SidFinkelstein.